chapter, please. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse number 5, familiar scripture to most of us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. These are such incredible scriptures. Amen. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And here's what happens. If you don't trust in yourself, lean not to your own understanding. It shall be health or a cure to thy navel or center of strength and marrow to thy bones. In other words, a protection. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then what happens? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So God's saying, here's the deal. Do this, and I'll do this for you. But it's so easy, and when we come into the church, we have these things where we feel like, okay, well, I think I feel, and no, listen, don't lean to your own understanding, your own wisdom in any way. Do what's right. Trust God. And as you trust God, he will show himself strong on your behalf. Lord, please bless the word. Anoint it. Touch it. Allow it to resonate in our minds and our hearts tonight. Lord, speak to someone here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we come to God, the first lesson we learn is to somehow trust him. And God puts us in situations where we have to trust him. Before Israel could enter into the promised land, they needed to be able to rely on God for everything. And God is saying, you know what? You need to learn to rely on me for everything. The Red Sea was a proving ground. Water from a rock, manna from heaven, all of these things showed them, you know what? You can't sustain yourself. I am going to sustain you. You have got to rely on me and not what you can produce. All shouted to God's people and trusted God. When I came to the Lord, I somewhat felt self-sufficient. Some of you perhaps were in that place. I had a successful insurance agency. I just finished a subdivision. Money wasn't a problem. I had resources, built the house that I wanted. And God had to show me that I couldn't rely on these things. I couldn't rely on my ability. I couldn't rely on my talents. You have to get to the place where, listen, I don't care what you got going for you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Oh, I want to serve God, but I got to have a backup plan. If God doesn't come through for me, well, I've got to have another program to make sure that everything will be all right. God wants us to be able to trust him with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding or even our own abilities or resources, because resources can go like that, and now we're right back to trusting God. It would be health to our bodies, that's what it said, if we would do this. Health to our bodies, increase of substance, and our barns or our reserve would be plenty. See, he wants to put us in a position where, well, we're not constantly worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Brother Claymull was helping me build a project at my home last week, and so I went out and I bought a nail gun, a power nail gun. Any of you have a power nail gun? It's a couple ladies. you really need to have a, I don't care if you build or not, you really need to have a power nail gun. And I got used to using this power nail gun, I said to Brother Klamala, you know, if this pastoring thing doesn't work out, I got something to fall back on now. And as a pastor, you know, I could think it's all about my abilities to preach and teach and counsel and somehow organize the church, but that's not it at all. You can't rely on something that you can produce in order to do something godly, you see. Listen, God is always our fallback program. He is. 2 Peter 2 and 20 says this, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." That word entangled means to self-involve with other more important interests. Everybody has certain weaknesses in their walk with God. One of mine is, but please don't tell anybody, one of mine is that I can see the potential in something, a business or an opportunity, and I'm thinking, you know what, I could do that. I'm always telling my wife, I could do that, you know, and I have to just stay away from it. I remember in 1987, I saw an opportunity for a national insurance agency, and so I got involved with it for 2 years, and I was the most miserable person for 2 years because God did not want me to be involved in that, but I didn't even ask him. So we find that throughout the Bible, we have situations. Moses was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, but he thought it was going to be by his abilities and not by the power of God. And how many times do we want to take things in our own hand? I'll take care of this one, God. You know, I know all about it. You don't have to deal. I don't even have to ask you anything. You just sit there and I'll do it. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. Would you turn to Exodus, the 4th chapter? Verse number 1. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is it? What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. It became power in his hand." The singular situation that turned him completely around and gave him power, and that can happen in each and every one of our lives. When we turn something that we think is so vital to our existence, so important for us to have, he calls us to lead people out of bondage. But if we won't let go of some things that we think we've got going for them, you know, Moses, he had a staff. And when he left Egypt, he ran from Pharaoh, ran from the calling of God, messed up 40 years in the backside of Sinai, herding sheep. There was a staff that was always in his hand. It was there to lean on. It was there to protect him. It perhaps got him a meal or two. It was there in order to help with bad saints, I mean sheep. you know, it was always there, you know, it became a part of him. And God said, you know what, I want to use you. But before I can use you, you better throw down your security. You better throw down your strength. You better let it go. Let it go. I know you've got the abilities. I know you got the intellect. I know you have the vision. I know you have the oratory. I know you can do certain things. You've displayed that. But drop it. What have you got in your hand? And he said, throw it down. Okay, I'm going to throw it down. But when he picked it up, now it was different. Now it was God's authority. Now it was not only the intellect and the knowledge and the power and the charisma, you know, but it was God anointing everything that he naturally had. Amen. Now every one of us have some attributes. Every one of us have some natural abilities, but if we use them without God, well, I tell you what, they're not going very far.
Right.
A man stood in my driveway too. Days ago, somebody from this congregation, I won't mention who he is, but he's been a faithful saint for many years. He's not in church tonight, out of town. And he said, I've been witnessing, you know, I don't have the scriptural knowledge that you have, Pastor. But I said, you've got something even more. You have an ability to touch the hearts of people because of your genuineness. There's an anointing on you that many people do not have, because he has expressed, I don't have it, so I have to use God as a resource in order to give it to me.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's the problem that Moses had. He trusted in this thing that he had been leaning on for years. It was his security, and he could rely on it. He used it for everything and anything. But God's saying, no, lean not onto your own understanding. Trust in me with all your heart. If you're going to do a job for me, you better do it for me and with my power. You know, I see a lot of young ministers in conferences and so forth, and you know what? They have been in church all their life, and they have developed a style of preaching and so forth, and read a lot of books and heard a lot of sermons, and they feel that many times, you know what? I got it together, and I could really do something, and God has got to take that away from them before they're ever going to do anything for God. Moses kept it close to him for security. He used it and used it. And then one day God appears to Moses in a burning bush, and God asks the question that God already knew, what is that in your hand? Then the Lord told Moses to throw it down, and now it was just a dumb stick. It was false security. It was his blankie, you know. It was his comfort toy. It was God that protected him and kept him and fed him all of these years. It wasn't the stick he had in his hand. If you really think that it's something that you really produced without God being in the picture, you're sorrowfully wrong. But when Moses threw down what he was relying on, then it became power in his hand. Not his power, but God's power. It was used to perform many miracles now. It wasn't the security that he had before, a sign of God's power before Pharaoh. It was used to part the Red Sea. It was used in order to touch the rock and bring forth water. That which was Moses' security was turned into power, but only after he was willing to let it go and be obedient to God. And sometimes, I know in my life, I've gone over and over and over this. God said, let it go, let it go. You're not going to make it. You're not going to cause this. You're not going to be able to, but it's going to be in my hands and in my power. I wonder how many people have been in the same position. The fact of the matter is, most of us have been or are in that very position even to the day. And let me ask you tonight, what is in your hand? What is your greatest resource? What is your greatest ability? Because sometimes we don't have the power of God because we want to go in our power, in our ability, in our intellect. Hallelujah. Are you willing to throw it down so that you can pick up some power from God? When we come to God to serve Him, God insists that we throw down that which we have in our hands or that which we relied on. There came a time where God says, okay, open your hands, your business is gone. Open your hands, this is no longer a part of your life, because if you want to keep the business and then also serve me or try to pastor a church, it's not going to work. You have to be completely completely reliant on me and not what you can produce. I hope I'm talking to somebody here tonight. You know, the thing that we rely on for our security, those things that we can learn to lean on and protect us, our abilities, well, God's saying, I've given those to you, but sometimes we don't recognize that those are gifts from God. Not something we have, you know, developed over the years. Our abilities, well, just in case God doesn't come through for us, I always have my education and my job and my wife and my husband and my business and my abilities and my good looks and my youth. Really? You may not always have that. I've been in a position where I've lost a job, you know. I've been in a position where I didn't have money in the bank. I've been in a position where I'm wondering, God, am I going to ever feel well again? I've been in those positions, and you know what? That is a gateway to some power, because you now have to rely on God instead of your own abilities. I can just make it happen. Oh, really? Really? No, you can't. And as long as we hold on to those things, we won't experience the full power of God and the full provision of God. And we get to the place where everyone's attention is on us instead of the attention going to God. You see, when we don't have anything in our hands to rely on, then we can have God's power and God's strength and God's protection and God's provision and God's Spirit. Some of the most powerful services I have ever been in have been with people who have absolutely nothing. We had this song, and it just brought me right back into a Mexican church, and those people have very little, but you know what? They were dressed to the T. There wasn't a man there without a white shirt and a tie on, dressed because they were coming into the presence of God. They had nothing. They walked the church, and they walked home. But there was a power of God, because they didn't rely on their own ability or what they have. They have absolutely nothing. We go into the prison, there may be 300 men there. They have absolutely nothing. Everyone is dressed the same. Everybody has a sentence against them, but there is a move and a power of God, because not looking to their own ability or what they could produce, God help me, and God does. Hallelujah. Same thing when we were in Africa, in Nigeria. The third world countries, they're not giving up anything. They're always looking to God for something. They don't have 401ks. They don't have HMOs. They don't have Obamacare. They don't have anything. They got God, and they're going to trust God and not lean to their own understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. I've used the scripture so many times. If you go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, of course, it's when Abraham is asked to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah, the same mountain that Jesus was crucified at. Verse number 9 says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me." In other words, the thing that he relied on, the thing that he loved the most, the thing that he felt he had going for him more than anything else was his son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, whenever we give up something that we think is so precious, God always returns it to us, and it's better. It's more powerful. Oh, I just want to do it my way. No, no, don't do it your way. Give it to me the way I want it. Lay it down, and I will hand it back to you. But this time, it's going to be protected. This time, it's going to be powerful. And Abraham, verse 14, called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that is, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies, and in thy seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, can you imagine the reason Israel is where it is? The reason God has blessed the nation of Israel, the reason that there are so many of descendants of Abraham, was all about, now I know you've withheld nothing from me. Oh God, this is unreasonable. No, not if you see the other side and what you're going to receive. It's unreasonable to throw this thing down. Not if you understand the power you're going to be picking up. You see, well, I'm just a little bit afraid. Well, lean not. Trust not. Jesus said the same thing to his disciples. Have you turned to Matthew 16? Matthew 16 and 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So if you're going to follow God, you're going to have to deny yourself. But, you know, it really isn't denying ourselves. It's really demonstrating to God there isn't anything more important than you. And when you demonstrate to God there isn't anything more important than him, then he demonstrates to us, here, I'll give this to you. I've gone through that school. I know what it's all about. And now I just open my hands. You want it? You can have it. It's okay. Oh God, I'll not rely on my abilities, my job skills, my education. You can have my business. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to feed my family. Oh, you have a family? Give me your family. Sometimes the thing that we love the most is our family, and rightfully so. But you know what? There comes a time when we have to put our family in God's hands. I don't know. I don't have the ability to keep my family. I don't have the ability to watch over them. I don't have the ability to bless them. But I've got the ability to talk to the one who can, you see. It's not in my power. It's not in my might. Take words with you. Amen. But my family, that's where I have my greatest pleasure. Oh, you have pleasure? Give it to me, and I'll give you joy. See, this world is after pleasure. This world is after security. This world is after comfort. And my God says, you know, all these things I can give you. I can give those to you. You're beating your head against the wall. Every day you're fighting for this and fighting for that. When God says, just lay it down. Lay it down. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on. Why are you fighting, Paul? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Hallelujah. We must approach God with empty hands, and he will fill them with power. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. No. You know, God, you can go into any of the rooms in my life except for this one room. That room you can't go in. No, I'm sorry. Unless you open all of the doors of your life. Amen. Let's go to a couple of familiar scriptures. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians 4 and verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So don't fret about it, don't worry about it, don't lose sleep over it. I have to remind myself of that on a weekly basis. I don't have just the care of my family. I've got the care of the church. In every situation that people go through, I take that situation very seriously. But you know what? I am not responsible for their health or their wealth, their job, their marriage. I'm not responsible for any of those things. I have to go before the King and simply say, God, you know what their situation is. I'm asking God if you'll do this for them, God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your feeling, and your mind, or your thoughts, through Christ Jesus. So if you do that, there's a peace that comes over. I don't know what I'm going to do, Pastor. I don't understand it. This is just terrible. It's happening. No, no. Make your request. Worship God. And let the peace that passes all understanding. Let it come on you. Let the feelings go and the thoughts that are grieving you right now. God can take care of you, I'm telling you. God can protect, God can provide. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am there with to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to be abound everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. Christ, which strengthens me. Well, I see, you know what I'll do is I'll get another job. But you already have to. Well, I'll get another job. And then I'll work weekends. And then No. You see, that's not trusting in God. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 25. Verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know, we forfeit the joy of just some of the free things in life. Working so hard in order to have the house and the things and the car that we forget to walk on the beach or walk in the woods or just take a stroll and look at the sunset or the sunrise or some of the things, the beautiful things that God has given to us freely. We get so occupied, preoccupied with so many things that we're not enjoying the life that God has really given us. Enjoy those kids. Don't turn them over to somebody else. Enjoy those kids. Hallelujah. So what do you have in your hand? Come on. What is it? Your understanding? Throw it down. Your traditions? Get rid of it. Your rights? Don't hold on to your rights. Your power? You got to be joking. We can't have God's power if we have our power at the same time. What are you relying on outside of God? Maybe that's keeping you from all of the blessings and all of the provision. You know, I had to learn in a short period of time that the best thing I could do for my finances was tithing. And from that day on, I never, ever missed a tithe check because I recognized it would be so ignorant of me not to buy into God's order for my finances, and I have never been wanting since that day. But are you trusting Him? Oh, Pastor, you don't know what my bills are. Doesn't matter what your bills are. You see, that's got nothing to do with it. It's got everything to do with the provision of God. You're trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in the Word of God. Our last scripture, Luke, the 12th chapter, if our musicians would come. Luke chapter 12. And verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, folks, we're just stewards of what we have. I don't care how much you have, it's not yours, because you can't leave with it. Eventually, it'll go into the hands of somebody else. But if you're not enjoying the presence of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding, if you're not enjoying the relationship with God and your family and your church, well, then you've missed it all, you see. There isn't anything that is more valuable. You can read about the stories of those who won the lottery. You can read about the professional athletes who have millions and millions of dollars. And in most cases, they're not happy. They're miserable. Relationships are breaking up all of the time because they're not putting their emphasis on the right things, you see. Oh, thank God for this book. It shows us the failures and it shows us the successes. And I want to follow the path of those who said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Those who have always trusted in God, no matter what their situation. Amen. So what's in your hand? Are you willing to throw it down in order to pick up power? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Where would Moses be? Where would you be if you hadn't made the right decision? The only one who never got what he requested from Jesus was the rich young ruler. And God said, sell it all and follow me. He hung his head and walked away because he had much. But I believe with all my heart, if he simply would have said, okay, I'll do it, God would have said, wait. Now I know that you've withheld nothing from me. You can not only keep it, but now you can enjoy it, because there's a difference, because you threw it down and now you picked it up. Hallelujah. I want to enjoy my life. Some of the best things are free, folks. But there's something that costs a lot. And that's the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Amen. He laid down his life. We ought to lay our life down for him. The altar's open. Would you come?